RNZ National. Jesse Mulligan with you on a Friday afternoon, and time to welcome Nicola Tookey for Critter of the Week. Nicola's at Forest and Bird. She's the boss there, and she's the boss of this part of the show as well. Hello.
Kia ora, how are you?
Good. Hey, by the way, I heard rumours of new Critter of the Week t-shirts. Can't say too much yet.
Exciting. Yeah. It feels like ages.
Well, what happens is we make them available and we tell everyone, go get your Critter of the Week shirt. Don't miss out. Last days, final days, final day. And then the next day we get emails saying, hey, I missed those Critter of the Week t-shirts. Can I still get one?
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. Well, that's good. I could do with supplementing my Critter collection, so good to know. Also, usually comes out just in time for me to get family members T-shirts for Christmas.
Yeah, that's the idea. So we'll let people know. You're not wearing a T-shirt today. You're in camo, and I know this because you accidentally started this call with your video on. What's the story?
Well, I have... So one of the things that I love to do is go outdoors, but I need a kind of purposeful outdoors activity, right? So I find, and to all the trampers out there, I'm really sorry, but I'm not a huge fan of. Yeah. You go on the track from here to there, and then you stay in a hut with a bunch of people you don't know, and then you come out again.
Pointless walking, is one way of looking at it.
Yeah. So I have been, over the last few months especially, learning to hunt. So in the small rear weather windows, I've been getting out and about with a mate and learning the art of stalking the quarry.
Wow.
And I went out the other day and I thought, it would just be good if I had another kind of mid layer would be great. And I thought, I'm going to buy some camo. So it's like, that's what you busted me wearing when I accidentally had my camera on.
It must be pretty exciting hunting for the first time.
It is. And there's so much to learn. And it ticks all the boxes for me because it's purposeful. And there's always this kind of potential of bringing home something for dinner.
What are you hunting?
So yeah, it's good. Pigs, deer, goats, chamois, anything that's kind of in the wrong place. And because that's the other thing, right, is I feel like I'm helping benefit the poor old nature out there that's getting smashed, not just by the introduced sort of predators like the stoats and the feral cats and ferrets and rats and all of that, but the browsers are having a huge impact on top of that. So get to my little bit.
Yeah, and I should say there's probably more trampers listening than there are hunters, so on behalf of them I'll say that they probably tramp because they probably do the walk because it is pointless. They just like being in amongst nature and doing something which doesn't have a particular purpose, and that's fine too.
Oh, totally. And I did it with some colleagues last year. I did the Abel Tasman. Have you done the Abel Tasman? Yeah. It poured down the whole time. And one of my colleagues said on the third day that he got just far enough ahead of me on the track that he couldn't hear me complaining because there were a lot of hills. But
it's a great motivator, walking in front of Nicola Tookey. Keep your distance. You're offshore again for Critter of the Week today.
Sure am. See what I did there? Sure. So we are going under the sea and talking about blue sharks. I love a shark.
Yeah.
I've always been fascinated with sharks. I think people generally are. Sharks, dinosaurs, dolphins, penguins. There are some creatures that people really, really are fascinated by, I think, and sharks are one of them. Blue sharks are part of a group of sharks that are called requiem sharks. Requiem. How would you pronounce that?
Yeah, I'd say requiem.
Let's say requiem. And they are big, cruisy, they're the epitome of what we think of when we think of a shark, right? They are that beautiful, sleek, kind of wonderful shape. And they have a beautiful deep blue colour that softens to light underneath. And they are found all over the world. So they have mostly found in the Pacific, which is why we're talking about them today. So here in New Zealand waters and beyond in our Pacific neighbour waters. And the blue shark has one of the largest distributions of any shark in the world. So they can be found, I think, from Norway down to here. And they basically dive at night way down deep to feed. And they do that throughout the night, and then they hang out on the surface during the day. And that's kind of been their downfall, because of the fact that they tend to be found near the surface during the day. They are one of the most heavily fished sharks in the world. Mm. And they're taken for their fins, so around the world. Not in New Zealand, though, because the shark finning became illegal in 2014. The New Zealand public were not very happy about that. So things that I thought you might like to know about sharks that I like to know. So these are big-ish sharks. The males can grow up to 2.8 metres long, and they can weigh up to 55 kilos. So the males are kind of fairly slender.
Yeah, long and
females
thin.
Females, though, bit heavier. So they are bigger, so they can grow half a metre longer again, so up to 3.3 metres long. And they can weigh up to 182 kilos generally, so anywhere between sort of 100 and 200 kilos. The heaviest blue shark, though, she was 391 kilos. That's like
it's
100 kilos per meter.
It's a major discrepancy between the male and the female, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter so much in water because there's zero gravity, but still.
Yeah, but still, exactly. And part of it might be because of the life cycle. So the females are viviparous. That means that they give birth to live young, and they can have litters of anywhere between 25 and 100 pups. So you have to have plenty of resources on board to be able to deliver that.
As anyone who's delivered just one pup will understand and appreciate.
Oh, yeah, that's plenty to say about that. You're quite right. So one of the things that I am fascinated by, I don't know if blue sharks do it, but I saw a wildlife documentary years ago when I was first doing my diploma in natural history filmmaking, and it was a camera inside a pregnant shark. I think it might have been a sand tiger shark or something. And they were filming the little baby, so she was alive. They were filming the pups inside cannibalizing each other and going around and eating up all the remaining eggs that hadn't yet hatched into little shark babies. So they were starting their predatory life inside their mother while they were busy kind of wolfing down and all their siblings.
That's very unpleasant to think about and hear about.
It's called oophagy. That egg eating, or ovophagy, I think.
It's natural. It's natural. They'll be doing it forever, but it just seems very, very creepy to us.
Very creepy, but also really fascinating. You could just see these little tiny little sharks just kind of almost swimming around in the goo inside and then just eating each other. It was just fascinating. The other thing that, so when they grow up, when they come out and then they become sharks out in the world, they are pretty cruisy. So they get described as lazy, which I think is a bit subjective and potentially a bit judgy. but they can move up to 70 kilometres per hour. So I think that's a fair old speed.
Yeah.
And they sometimes herd. So they can use herding behaviour to kind of clean up prey that might be escaping, you know, schools of fish and things like that. What I have always also loved about sharks is that the way that sharks can detect electricity. And I remember one of my lecturers at university trying to describe this to us. And so what they have are they have these special organs called the ampullae of Lorenzini, which are the little kind of holes that you see if you look closely, if you're face to face with a shark, just before they put your head in their mouth.
Yes.
Have a look at the ampullae of Lorenzini, which are these little jelly filled canals in their snout that can pick up 5 billionths of a volt which means they can find prey even if it's under the sand. And the way that my lecturer described it when I was at university was, it would, if there was a great white shark in the harbour, for example, in the Hauraki Gulf, it could detect an AA battery in Dunedin kind of thing. He may have been exaggerating, but they have this incredible sensitivity to the electromagnetic fields, the electricity that's produced by other living things, and then the electromagnetic fields, which means scientists think that they are basically reading those fields as a map as they're swimming across the ocean.
Incredible. Incredible.
It is incredible. So we don't know much about how many they are, where they are, how they breed, and we think they might live for at least, 20 years. They are listed internationally as near threatened and not threatened here in New Zealand. However, we do know that in some places their numbers have gone down by 60 to 80%. So what we're worried about, I suppose, is they get caught as bycatch in the tuna industry. So we don't catch them to take their fins off anymore because that's illegal. But the longline and gill netting industries catch them when accidentally while they're busy catching their quota. And 10 years ago, 20,000 blue sharks were caught that way. So what happens is they get pulled up and if they're still alive, they get kind of pretty poorly treated sometimes and then biffed overboard again. So we're quite worried about that. And at the moment, the government is actually consulting on a national plan of action for sharks.
Yes, we had a bit of a chat to one of you guys the other day about that one. I think you guys that they tighten things up a wee bit. The plan doesn't go quite far enough in your view.
No, and I mean, the way to consider it is that people are fascinated by sharks, right? Like, and have always been, probably because we're a bit scared of them, but also they have these like incredible superpowers that I've just been describing. And they are an ancient sort of a creature. They've been on Earth for hundreds of millions of years, and so it's kind of they're not things that we want to lose. And of course, being an apex predator, they're crucial for the health of an ecosystem. So if you have a healthy population of sharks, then everything flows down throughout the rest of the ecosystem, and it kind of helps you understand that everything is in check, if you like, throughout the various kind of ripple effects of your ecosystem. So healthy sharks means healthy oceans.
Yeah, and seeing a shark is good news for everything else that's going on down there. Yeah. Could I ask you to take a look at the picture, which we've shared on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jesse, and tell us how you would rate the physical attractiveness of the blue shark on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, that image is fairly confronting because it's nose to nose, isn't it? With the, like, it's a full-on close-up of the looking down the barrel of a blue shark. They are stunning, though. I particularly love their pectoral fins, which makes them look like an underwater aeroplane, or if you prefer, a submarine, I suppose. So they're innate. I think they're beautiful, we should do everything we can to look after them.
Thank you, Nicola. The Blue Shark will be very pleased to have you on its team. Have a great weekend. Good luck hunting, and we'll catch up with you next Friday.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Time for Wallace Chapman now and the panel.